order at 6:02. I have got no public, the first thing is public. I don't have anything from the public, email wise. Bill, did you get anything?
No, I haven't seen it.
And so I'll open it up to the public for any comment. Okay, seeing no comments, we're gonna go ahead and move on. Going down to review of financials conditions. And I'm gonna turn this over to Bill or Bob. I don't know which one wants to speak.
Yeah, I'm gonna share my screen as soon as I can figure out how to do that.
Ken, really quick. I don't know if other boards need to call the meeting to order as well.
Thank you, right. Board of Education.
Call this meeting to order at 6:03 PM.
Board of Selectmen calls our meeting to order at 6:03 PM.
Thank you. Maggie, thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says you called.
So the first topic of discussion with the review of financial conditions is the brand list. The brand list isn't compiled as of yet, but I did get some notes from the assessor that I can share on page 2 of the packet. The motor vehicles had a big spike last year, as we all recall, 28%. Assessor doesn't anticipate any increase, as well as doesn't anticipate any sort of decrease either. The personal property, it's currently 910 accounts. It's an increase from 862 from last year. So an increase. And then real estate, currently processing approximately 18 months worth of permits. It's likely going to result in an increase to the net taxable grand list. You got the 5 Cherry Brook, 102 units. It's a new car dealership, Mitchell Subaru. Residential construction of 4 single family residents. And then some real property improvements from approximately 100 permits that were pulled in 2021. But again, I don't have these numbers yet. We're looking at probably a month and a half, I think.
Yeah, and remember too, 5 Cherry Brook is only partially constructed, so that we won't get full value of it as of October 1st.
So unless anyone has questions, I'll move on to the next slide.
But we will get partial credit for 5 Cherry Brook?
Yes, as soon as they get the foundation in, you can assess them. You know, obviously they got the foundation and they got a good part of it done, but it's obviously not fully constructed.
Maybe like 50% on a building like that?
I can't tell you what the percentage is. I just didn't want you thinking you're going to get the full amount. That's all.
And even without an increase in motor vehicles, we're going to continue to have that issue with the state, where presumably any amount above our mill rate that's above what the state has set for the motor vehicle mill rate will get taken.
Right. As long as they assess it on the prior year's mill rate, there'll be a gap, assuming our mill rate goes down.
All right, so we'll assume that number is going to come later on before each department starts their budget.
Yep, it usually comes, I believe, late November, early December, right?
Yeah, I mean, they don't submit it to the state until late January.
Right.
So we'll usually have a fairly solid number in late December, early January.
I think this is one of the problems we have when we have this meeting early in the year in October, because I know when we had it in December, we always had those numbers. So I'm just stating that for people why you used to get it and you're not getting it tonight. So, okay. Tax collector?
This is the most recent percent of collections. you have. Current taxable is the $37,690,226. Currently at 56%. Year to date, prior year, fiscal year 22, we're able to hit 100%. So I would imagine we would still at the 99% of taxable to budget at that number, but I don't have the number yet.
It's also a little in the year for us to start making predictions whether we're gonna hit it or not. 6 months from now, we're gonna.
Yeah. The third slide, page 5, is the debt service. You have here, to the left side of the screen, the capital projects refinancing, DPW facility, and then the fire station and bridges would total. That first slide is the current principal total of the $19,250,000. The old debt schedule is to the right of it, so you can see the comparison of how it's been affected with the refinancing and the new debt financing. That puts the current year in a deficit for the principal of $335,000. Next year's budget amount, you're looking at a $310,000 increase, and so on. I'll move to the next slide, which has the interest, and then go to the total. So interest, you'll see a $317,000 of that payment for this current fiscal year, $317,476, which makes a total amount of $652,476 compared to the current year's budgeted debt payment.
Now, we're gonna have to wind up making a payment this in FY23 that we didn't really plan to. Is that,
yeah,
can you explain
when we,
that to me?
Yes, we pushed it forward, the financing, to capture the lower interest rate. If you recall, the interest rates
pushed
were
going
up.
Meaning we got the...
Well, we went earlier.
Early, okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we went out to finance earlier. Normally, we would finance at some point in the summer.
Usually August is when we... Usually in August is when we would go ahead and sell new bonds.
Okay.
And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is because you have a certain amount of time to make all the spend down the bond. And so the later we go ahead and sell the bonds, the longer that period is. Second reason is that if we sell the bonds in August, that first year, the same fiscal year in which you sell the bonds, the bond payment is much less. So you don't hit the full bond payment, doesn't come until the next fiscal year. And so we, like with the garage, we sold the bonds in August. We were intending to do that this year. So when we did the budget, we were anticipating on selling the bonds in August. Once we got into the spring and the interest rates started going up, we pushed it to basically sell the bonds as soon as we can in order to get the lowest interest rate. Because of that, we ended up selling them in May, which is good. We got a lower interest rate. The bad part is it means then this fiscal year is when we get the full extent of the bond payment.
So that's a problem for this existing fiscal
yes.
year, not next year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're trying to work the budget from. Okay.
Well, but we're still going to have to discuss it at some point. It's a big number.
Yeah, but the Board of Finance has.
But just to follow up on Warren's question, at our meeting last week, I think you said something that because we sold the bond, when we sold those bonds, we got some sort of a premium back?
Yeah, when you sell the bonds, there's a lot of things that go into the bond and determine who's basically giving you the best deal. One of them is they will offer you a premium back, which essentially is a lump sum of money. In this case, we got back $380,000 premium. And so we parked that premium in CIP, and then we basically spend it at the will of the Board of Finance. And so the good thing is we are still holding on to that premium money. So we can use that premium money to buy down at least a part of that first debt payment, which we were unexpecting for this current fiscal year.
All right. We'll now move on to estimates.
Yeah, so what I did was, in order to determine what impact, this is the current, on page 8, this is the current estimated unassigned fund balance, undesignated. With some earmarks for some items below with estimates in there. currently at 17.6%, and that's with the current fiscal year's budget comparison. Still holding the 2 months of surplus as recommended by the government finance organization. If you take a look at the next slide, page 9, I factor in the additional money from beyond, you have the $380,000 of premium, the additional money to get us to the remaining portion of the first year's debt service payment. It's $272,283. If that were to be taken from unassigned fund balance, that would keep us at the 17%, 2 months worth of surplus, but it brings us right there.
So it sort of leaves no extra cushion for any of the things that we have listed as placeholders. Any spending on those things would bring us below.
Yeah, not against the current. Right, not against the current. Now, next year, as you've had, like with this year, you had an additional $100,000 flowing in from revenue, and I can't determine how we're going to land this current year, but that's correct.
So this doesn't include any excess revenue we brought in as of July 1st, carry over from the prior year?
I put in $100,000, okay. That's estimated.
Okay.
Yeah, I was referring to how we'll land this upcoming year, fiscal year 23.
Just to clarify, the 17% and 2 months of operating budget, those figures aren't written in the law. Those are just what the bonding agencies would like to see.
Yeah,
I just want to clarify this.
Yeah, I mean, that number continues to rise as time goes. But no, there's nothing written in stone. And we did just get the new funding, the new money. So
so as long as we don't need any more funding anytime soon, who cares if we blow out?
No, I'd say that. right.
Well, the reason I want to say this is that we have, you know, as a town, we do have a margin here if we have to. Not that we want to, but if we have to, we can dip below the 17 and below the 2 months. State won't come over here and beat us up. The bond agency.
No, it's nothing like that.
May come over. But, you know, as everybody knows, we just got a very high rating. And this is how we keep the high rating. So, yeah, we're walking on thin ice. So I can use that metaphor.
So, Ken, do we know of any big bond sales that are planned in FY24? Anything coming up?
Well, I know two small ones. We're going to talk about, I guess, tonight, later on.
All right, I'll defer.
Yeah, I know some stuff coming.
Okay.
And it's for later discussion.
Okay.
And what the boards will be doing as a plural. Thank you.
So moving on to the next slide, we have our pension contribution. We're positive. Piece of news. Don't look to me for too much, but the defined benefit contribution for the town is declining, and it's at the point where the current plan is going up. So we're kind of at a point where it's breaking even. So there's no increase or anticipate any sort of increase for the upcoming year for pension.
All right, thank you. And then
these are the ADEX. These are just from the pension valuations. Those numbers are already on the on the slide prior that I just mentioned. On page 14, I just did a quick little overview of other insurances. Anticipated close to a $20,000 increase. We have agreement with Kerman in place, so these are 5% standard increases. I just put a dollar figure against this so we had a hands on.
Yeah, it's a maximum. It can be less, but it can be more.
Correct. And the next I had left for you the current capital improvement. I have a couple more over here if anybody wants to take a look at it. It's all the projects that we currently have in place with the first quarter balances. And this first column. And I basically slid over from last year's capital improvement plan, the department requested. Those department requested right now that are in this column are not, we didn't have those meetings yet. So those are just from last year's figures. So this we can reference, and we could also reference, I put in the ARPA plan as well. That's later on in the deck, but those two project listings kind of go hand in hand. I know it's a lot of information, it's hard to see up there.
Bill, can I ask?
Yeah.
On your town elevator replacement, you've got it in the 25-26 year in red. What's the red mean?
Unfunded. Red is bad. Moving on to wages and benefits. Excuse me. Have here recent contracts that were negotiated with the anticipated increases for the upcoming year. You have your public works, the police, and the dispatchers, all the way to the right. Are the anticipated increases for those agreements? Next slide. I put a slide together for Port of Ed as well. And the increases in Port of Ed already has, I believe, those figures captured on their overview, which they'll go over. The percentages for the defined contribution plan, as I mentioned earlier, those haven't changed. So there's no dollar figures against them. That's page 25. We do anticipate a slight decrease in cost of our life insurance. It was unanticipated. Previously, we had a single vendor that we worked with, Anthem, and it was basically all together, one vendor for all. Now we have the Hartford. And we will get a decline in cost for next year. Here's the some notes about the medical insurance and the other benefits. We have a 3-year lock for our management fees with United Healthcare that we just signed. And I had One Digital, our broker, review the current state of claims, and they're anticipating approximately a 9% increase in cost overall. If it were 9%, that would be $500,000 increase. That would be for both Board of Ed and town. Board of Ed takes on about 80% cost. Town takes on 20. Dental has the same locked-in management fee rate for 3 years. And I don't have yet these estimates from dental for One Digital, but they're not anticipating an increase. I usually get the numbers for One Digital, and it runs sometimes as the tax, so it's going to be about another month and a half or so. And these were the ARPA projects I mentioned earlier. Full listing of everything that's been approved. You'll see the funding that's approved in the center of the page. Balance that came over as of 7/1, and then you'll see anything that has red expenditures in there, meaning there's activity happening. So far to date, there is a, for this current fiscal year, expense of approximately $92,000 out of the slightly over $3 million worth of funding. And the last last slide is the timeline I have for the budget. Any dates that overlap with the Board of Finance, you'll see it in the Board of Finance meeting dates that are in the packet for the next meeting. The only significant change from last year really is that the April Board of Finance meeting was pulled forward a little bit to April 5th, give us enough time to get that budget mailer established so we can get it out.
Any questions for anybody? All right, thank you, Bill.
You haven't given us much to play with here.
You know.
Only gets better from there.
Well, it is a lot to absorb all at once.
Yeah, yes. I do have down here in the agenda the CIP spreadsheet. You already went through it. I don't know if you want to have a discussion over it or not. I think it's just information. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure everybody had their hands on all the projects, both the capital improvement as well as the ARPA projects.
And I did read through the CIP for my residents. CIP request to be clarified. So thank you for including that in the package. So this brings us down to the review of the union contracts. I don't know if you...
You
had the slide.
Yeah, I had included the
okay.
The wages, the benefits, and earmarked anything that
okay.
was
changed. I know you mentioned that. I didn't know if you wanted to add anything more to it.
No, I mean, it's all covered in there. I mean, I could review it in more detail, but it's...
No, that's all right.
The wages really is not much of a difference from falling in line with the other wage increases, and there was no significant changes to benefits.
Alright. Okay, well, thank you.
Is that what's summarized on this sheet here? That was handed out that
that's
says...
Board of Ed.
Huh?
That's just
yeah,
Board of Ed.
Yeah, Board of Education.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
And it looks like we have no renewals in the contracts until 24, it's like summer 24.
I'm sorry?
For
the town side, all the contracts have been negotiated.
Yeah, and it looks like the Board of Ed also.
Except for secretaries, we're in the middle of those negotiations right now.
Okay.
Okay. Just give me that pause, make sure there's no more questions here. So now we're coming down to the review of other budgetary items. You do have the Board of Selectmen, but I don't see the Board of Education there, so I'm assuming we're gonna be asking the Board of Education anyways. So we'll start off with the Board of Selectmen. You guys have anything? Either one of you guys? Any one of you three?
I've got some items to go over. Some of them will impact this year, but they'll also impact next year too, so I think it's important that you know about them. The debt service, we already just discussed a little bit. EMS staffing, we talked about that in the past. It's becoming an even larger issue now. September 30th, we received a letter from Vintech, who is the company that supplies the contracted services, which provides our EMTs and our paramedics for our voluntary service for those shifts that we can't have volunteers on. In the letter, they basically said that they're exercising the 60-day clause to terminate the contract unless we agree to increase the EMT rates by 30% and the paramedic rates by 39%.
I mean the rate that we pay them, or?
Yes, yeah. The hourly rate that we pay them. Give you some idea of the impact of that, it would basically be about a $200,000 increase in the budget. And so, you know, brought that to the Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen authorized the town to go out to an RFP process to get competitive rates. We are anticipating that
we know of one company we think at least that will respond, and we think their rates may be a little lower. I mean, one thing, by Vintech sending this letter out telling us what their rates are going to go up, it lets everybody else know what they need to bid to come under that, so they're going to, some way, shot himself in the foot, I guess, but yeah, as it may, we are expecting them to come in a little bit lower. And even at a rough estimate, if they come in at, say, a 25% increase instead of the 39% increase, that would still amount to about a $175,000 increase in the budget, annual budget for this year. And obviously, if it's December, that amount will be a little lower because it's not for the full year. But you'll see the impact next year when we have to go to budget for it. So that's why I wanted to I'll let you know about that.
So, Bob, we're under contract with Intech right now, correct?
We are.
And when does our contract expire?
Contract doesn't expire for another 2 years.
So how can we do
years.
This?
Because there's a clause in there that says either the town or Vintech can get out of the contract with 60 days notice. So basically what they said is, hey, we're considered as our 60-day notice unless you agree to abide by these increases. Mm-hmm. They claim that, you know, the same wage inflation that's hitting everybody else has hit them.
30%?
Yeah.
40%?
Yeah.
I don't know. My other concern is any company that goes out kind of with this drastic of a measure, I have reservations about how long they're going to continue to go. So. Yeah, I think it's best that we look to see if there's another service available. That's too bad. We've been with Vintech for, I think, almost 20 years. So it's been a long time.
Ask a question on that?
Yep.
Have we utilized, say, over the past year, have we utilized, yes, or maybe last few years, have we utilized our services more? We asked for more time that they've spent, you know, like, to help fill in the gaps with volunteers,
yes,
and all that? Or are we seeing a reduction? Because I know we're having a hard time with volunteers.
We are, and this is actually a good segue into the next item I was going to bring up. Yes, about 2015 when we went to a paramedic service, the plan was that we would use Vintech for day shifts for EMTs, and then weekends and nighttime shifts would be volunteers, and then the paramedic service would be 24/7. So we'd always be using Vintech for the paramedic service, but the EMTs, we would use volunteers for, you know, majority of the time. Unfortunately, over time, it's transitioned more and more to using Vintech. So we rarely have EMTs, volunteer EMTs now on the weekends. And I think most weeknight shifts we're covering with volunteers, but even some of those we end up bringing Vintech in. We have to have somebody scheduled to cover that shift. We can't have ambulance not go out. And so if they can't get anybody to a volunteer to cover the shift, then we have to call in Vintech. So in fact, the RFP we just sent out, it calls for part of the regular services to have somebody in here on the weekends. It's every weekend it's just being covered by the contracted services. So to answer your question, yes, the amount we use the contracted services has gone considerably. Over the past, I don't know, 6 months or so, the Board of Selectmen has looked at this issue. In fact, it was at the request of the Board of Finance. They looked at this issue. They first looked to see whether emergency services could be contracted out, privatized, I think is what it was described as. And looking at that, the Board of Selectmen does not believe that's viable. We spoke to AMR, who is a primary private contractor in this area. They service Avon and Farmington. They said they did not have the staffing to cover Canton. Also, because of our limited amount of call volume, that we'd have to pay an additional, fairly substantial additional amount of money in order to cover their costs, because they have to go on calls in order to bill, in order to make money. If they don't go on enough calls and they don't make enough money, we have to pay the difference. So it didn't look like privatizing or having a private company come in was going to work. The next thing the Board of Selectmen looked at was trying to create more incentives to have more volunteers. And so they've had discussions back and forth with the fire department as to what those incentives could be. They looked at what other towns are offering. And essentially, they approved, pending funding, a series of incentives, which includes raising paper call from $7 to $25, we call per point. So if somebody goes to a training, that's 1 point. Right now they get $7. If they want a fire call, it's 1 point, they get $7. If they do a 12-hour shift as an EMT, I think that's 2 points right now. And so they raised that from $7 to $25. That would cost an additional $124,328, of which we would need an additional $83,000 to fund that. So we currently have about $40,000 that we have in the budget. So in order to fund the full amount, this is over an annual basis, to fund the full amount of those incentives would be an additional $83,000. They want to create a tax abatement, and this would have to be done by ordinance, so it has to be approved, presumably at a town meeting. Similar to what Simsbury has, so it's either 2,000 or 1,000 tax abatement, depending on how many years of service you have with the department. This is, all these are estimates, these numbers I'm giving you, but we've estimated the lost revenue from that would be about 50,000. They also want to create free transfer station passes. Again, this is an estimate, it looks like the impact of that would be about $5,000. And then free pool passes, which we don't think will have a financial impact at this point. So the total value of all those incentives is $138,912, and again, that is an estimate. So that kind of, that's why I said it transitions from your question into what the response is to try to bring in more volunteers. A couple other items, steep grant and a quarter study grant, they both have matches. One is $45,000, the other is $18,000. We'll discuss that at the next meeting. Town bridge deficit, we're still working on that. I think it'll be within the $200,000, which is what we removed from the project. So in other words, the project should come in at the original amount that was approved by the voters. It'll be $200,000 over what we have remaining, because several years ago, we took $200,000 out of that project to use it to basically buy down the mill rate. So I don't know when we'll have that final number. DOT is reviewing a number of change orders. And so hopefully we'll know before too long. They did give us a list of things that, as they say, they won't participate in. So they won't reimburse us the 80%. We're hoping there's not too many more of those, but we do know of a few. Collinsville Fire Station, as you know, there was $5.4 million that was approved at a referendum. The project was referred to an expanded PMBC, which has been working with the architectural firm Silver Petroselli to design the fire station. The current construction estimate for the fire station is around $8.5 million. That's based on the square foot of the building. There's also approximately $320,000 that the fire department is requesting for what we call FF&E, basically furniture, fixtures, and equipment. So if you take those, put those things all together, it looks like the project's is somewhere to $3 to $4 million over budget now. That's Silver Petroselli's estimate. The hope is it comes in below that, but it does look like it is over budget currently. I think that needs to go back to the Board of Finance. The Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen should review the proposal as it currently exists. It has gone to Millennium through the EZIQC process, the same process we use to do the public works facility. And they're gonna come up with a proposal based on its the current design. They also will make recommendations as to where we may be able to make, let's say, do value engineering to bring down the cost. They were pretty good about that last time. And then, I think after we get a proposal back from Millennium, which we should have in the next probably 3 weeks, we'll have a better idea where it stands. But at this point, it does look like it's over.
That's a question. Did they give a reason for the overage?
Yeah, the building is a little different than what it originally looked like. Not dramatically, but there are some changes to it. The other is just the square foot construction cost, the estimate that we were using originally, even though we had an inflation factor in there, hasn't kept up with inflation. So I think those are probably the two biggest reasons. Obviously, one of them, if you have to, you can value engineer and do something about it. The other, if it's an inflationary factor, you do what you can, but there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, what changes were made to the original proposal?
Well, for example, the original proposal had a flat roof that went across the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Now they've stepped up one side. to go across. Has a glass atrium, but yeah, not huge or anything, but it's there. There is a roof that connects to the building that covers their outdoor break area, barbecue area type thing, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
So, I mean, there are things I think that the Board of Selectmen will need to review. That's all the gloomy news I have. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Okay, I'll turn this over to the Board of Education. Same question.
Good evening, everybody. Nice to see all of you. Donna passed out to you a one-page sheet, just as Bill did, showing you what the union contract increases are going to be for next year. I'm going to ask Donna to walk you through that, but what you'll see at the top of the page is, as we mentioned earlier, all of our contracts have been settled, except for secretaries. We're in the middle of those negotiations right now. Many of our contracts will expire in 2024. What we tried to show you here are what we know our cost increases are going to be for next year, and then we projected special education increases as well. So I'll ask Donna to walk this through for you briefly, and then we have two personnel positions that we'll come back to at the end.
Okay. All right. Well, there's not much to tell. It's all the top portion for the union contracts is all based on actual contracts. So you can see the gross wage increase, what it's based on, administrators at 3%, teachers are go up one step, et cetera. And like Kevin said, the only one that is under negotiations at this time is secretaries, which actually expired last year. So it's got 2 years of an increase because we have to retro adjust this year once it's settled. So that's pretty self-explanatory, I think. The non-union, I've got it noted down there what includes non-union. Like Kevin said, we are proposing that as opposed to, well, to pretty much change job descriptions and put back in place the assistant superintendent, which would be a $40,000 increase in salary, and a special ed teacher at the M2, which is master's 2 rate, the lowest rate available, so not top of the line. We're bringing in at lowest rate possible. A lot of the other fixed costs in medical and dental, Bill just kind of went through. We're in together on that, on those items. So the utilities, I really only just did an assumption here of 5%, so it could very well be higher than that. And special education is based on what I know right now is that we have 3 additional students outplaced in special ed. So that's accounting for it for those students and assuming no additional for the following year. Of course, that's always a crapshoot. So given that, the total impact to a budget, just known based on these items, is a 3.5% increase. So any questions on that?
So you're putting back in the assistant superintendent?
So we're going to talk. Yeah, so we'll talk about that at the very end.
Okay.
Russell will talk about that.
Okay.
Any questions about any of the other costs that are on the sheet? Andrew?
Yeah, one question. For the teachers, you know, you don't give a percentage increase. Like the administrators, for example, is a 3% increase on the student aspect.
Because the steps are, they vary in percentage. So once you get to the top of the line, you might get a 1.25% increase.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of varied.
Okay. Well, what is the, ballpark, if you don't know the number off the top of your head, it's going to be a big number, the total salary that we pay for all our teachers now?
I'd have to look.
Okay.
I don't have that readily available.
That would be a rough percentage increase. You know, say it's $4 million, for example, and then we're going to add 409,000, right? Just 10%.
Right, so we divide 3%,
Maybe it's roughly, I understand, it's going to be staggered.
We'll get back.
We can get back to that.
Okay. And then I'll stop and pause. I have another question about if anybody else has any other questions. On special ed, right? So that 320,000, that's for just those three new students. That's not total, right? For all those students.
It's not the,
right.
Just the three.
Yes. And last year, for example, we put in a $300,000 increase. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be every year the increase that we're looking at.
Oh, okay. So you've already budgeted for a $300,000 increase, or is it?
This is in addition to this year's budget.
Oh, okay.
These are three new kids that came in this fall that we did not see coming.
That's correct.
That's $300,000 yearly budgeted for. It's being spent now, right? Just
right. But this is in addition to that. That's an increase again next year.
So basically, we've got $620,000.
Right. Yeah, that I understand.
Not year. Budgeted for this year.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I just want to clarify.
Oh, this is next year.
We know it's going to be a cost for next year.
You've already identified.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's why I was clarifying. I was making sure we're talking correctly.
And we get, isn't there a formula the state provides where we can get, maybe we'll get some reimbursement, maybe we'll get full reimbursement?
Yes.
Now, is that factored into $320,000? Or is that $320,000 total cost?
Essentially, our budget year every year includes we give the net number of that excess cost reimbursement.
Okay, so this is that would actually be canned bill potentially.
Potentially.
With factoring in the state reimbursement.
So Andrew, this is taking into account the excess cost.
Okay.
To answer your question.
Okay.
But thank you for clarifying. Yeah. That was really clear.
Yeah. All right. It's just such a big number. I know we talk about this every year, and it's so hard for me to wrap my head around it. Three students of, a little over $100,000 per student. I'm sure someone's asked this question before, and it could have been me. Why so much money per student? In comparison to, say, the average overall 16 or whatever thousand you spend per pupil, it's not special.
Based on the IEP needs and the specific needs of that student, students, need nurses and, the transportation with the nurse as well as a nurse at the facility, that kind of thing. It depends on the needs of the student.
Yeah.
So currently, we have 23 students outplaced. Our approximate total for those outplacements is about $2 million. So the average out-of-district tuition for a facility ranges between $50,000 per student to $100,000 per student. The average transportation cost is $45,000 per student. We work hard to keep our students within the district, but if their needs are so severe that we don't have the staff to accommodate them, that's when the student's outplaced. You've heard me say that before. Dr. Murdica, our previous director of People Personnel Services, I know came to a finance meeting and talked about that. And we just hired our new director of People Personnel Services, Barbara McLean, who will be starting with us November 14th. And that's one of her top three tasks, is to look at our outplacements to see if we can do things more efficiently.
Right.
I can tell you that three students returned to us this year who were outplaced last year. That's what we always try to do. We always try to return students when they are ready to return. So, it's as you know, the major part of the budget that fluctuates daily.
Yeah, I know. I understand it's so hard to nail down because there could be a special ed student moving into town next week. All you just haven't heard about it yet. It's just that number could spiral out of control so quickly. Adding 23 more students, right? We're at another $2 million.
It keeps me up at night.
Right,
absolutely.
So it's just so unbelievably huge and how it could really hit this town hard in a financial situation. And I understand, I'm not advocating we don't educate the kids, obviously, but
and we continually advocate.
We only have so much money in the town. So.
And we continually advocate to our state legislators to fund the excess cost grant at 100%. Right now, as you've heard us say, it's between 70 and 75%. So we really need to be reimbursed the entire amount. So that's
sometimes we don't even get the full 70%, right?
That's right.
It could be 60.
It could be. Right. So we need to keep advocating for that. That should be at the top of the list.
Yeah, for sure.
We put down a special ed teacher. We are expecting that we will need an additional special education teacher next year. We are looking to hire a special ed teacher this year. We will be able to build the amount or the salary of that teacher back to the city of Hartford because it's related to our students in the choice program, but we won't be able to do that next year. So that's why we're forecasting that additional position next year. Now, it could be that we could reduce some sections of grade levels depending on class sizes that could fluctuate, but I'm not ready to make that prediction at this point. I'm going to ask Russell Bush, who is chair of our Finance Facilities Committee, to talk about the assistant superintendent position.
Hi. So, as you guys may or may not be aware, at the end of the school year, Mr. Case is retiring as superintendent after serving the town for 17 years. And now the Board of Ed is tasked with finding his replacement. In an effort to maintain the continuity in the central office during this upcoming transition period and provide more support for the new educational leader, the board has decided to eliminate the position of Director of Learning and Innovation in favor of an assistant superintendent position. The idea of a district of our size that does not have an assistant superintendent does make it less attractive for a new superintendent to come in. The board approved a assistant superintendent position as a 12-month full-time position as opposed to the 10-month position of the expiring Director of Learning. The position of the assistant superintendent was eliminated in 2020 as a cost savings measure by a previous board. While it worked for a time, the current board has voted to reinstate the position to accommodate the district's current needs. The primary change in the position is an increase in responsibility so that the assistant superintendent could take over the operations of the superintendent if that was necessary. But the bigger increase is that it's becoming a 12-month position from the 10-month current position. We are planning to reinstate the assistant superintendent position as of 12/1 of this year and immediately eliminate the Director of Learning at the same time. The resulting increase for this year would be approximately $25,000 to this budget, or to our current budget, which wasn't budgeted for. And although we're disappointed to see Mr. Case leaving, we're excited for the next step in our process here.
Yeah, I have a number of questions, but I'll wait for further board meeting. Does anybody else have any questions on this?
Just a quick question. So the $40,000 you list here for the assistant superintendent, that's the amount above what you currently have
for an annual number.
That's an annual number. So the 25 approximately would be because we're starting December 1st, so it's 7 months.
Sure, but that's not the total salary of that person.
No. That's the amount above the learning. the Director of Learning.
Yeah, that was what I was figuring. I was like, whoa, that's...
We have a hard time.
You really think you can get someone for that?
The person who's currently a Director of Learning, is that person going to slip into this new position as of December 1st?
So we can't say that publicly right now.
All right.
That has not yet been decided.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any of the other boards? Selectman, you have a question?
Ken, I do want to let you know that Tom Blatchley is online by phone.
Right.
And so
welcome, Tom.
He may, participate at any time. But I just wanted to let you know, so it's about 6:15 for the record, he has been online.
Oh, okay. All right, I've been watching for his name. I didn't see it.
No, he's on the phone. I think until he unmutes the phone, he won't show up there.
Okay.
So if I can see him on my screen.
So are you monitoring him in case he has a question or something?
Yeah, he can. I told him he can unmute himself, so he can unmute at any time and ask a question.
Okay. All right. I'll assume you're done.
I'm done.
Okay. All right. So this is the tri-board meeting. And this is the beginning of their budget cycle. This was quoted to me today, the bar has been changed. The bar is very high financially. I'm not gonna quote any numbers. If you read in the paper, you can go to the grocery store and shop and see what's happened financially. Just to let you know, one of the things we're looking at, and this is just an estimate, just energy costs, and that includes electric, gas, diesel, we're looking at about $180,000 increase on that alone. Well, start combining that to everything all the way down to the yellow stickies in the school, tires for the trucks for the town garage. All these things are gonna come into play. Everything's expensive. Inflation does damage, okay? It damages everything, and it damages, and you're gonna see, and as you heard it tonight, it's damaged, it's gonna damage the town financially. The cost increase just to run the town, the same way we're doing it this year for next year, is astronomical. And we're gonna have a lot of discussions. There's gonna be a lot of heartaches among a lot of people and what's gonna happen. We're not a rich town. We're not Avon, we're not Simsbury. We can't go out. We have a very high percentage of our taxes coming from private property owners. I can only say that one of the best articles I read was on Social Security, that the cost increase of Social Security was for last year's inflation, or you can say this year's inflation. So that's behind the curve. And it's been pointed out, that cost increase has already been wiped out for the seniors who are on Social Security. They're not gonna get enough to cover just for the basics in the grocery store. So when you guys do your budget, keep this in mind. We have a lot of people in town who have to budget every month to pay their taxes. Yes, we have a lot of people in town who can pay their taxes with pocket change. And I'm gonna say this, I know it's gonna be controversial, but I don't really wanna run this board based on those people who can pay it outright. We have to take into consideration those people who have a limited amount of money, who have to budget, who have to go and buy the essentials at the grocery stores and do it. We're all in the same bucket. None of us in this room are escaping this inflation. Just keep that in mind when you do the budget. I am not gonna pull it out, and I've been asked to, and I won't. I'm not gonna give it a percentage for all the reasons that everybody already knows of what we're looking for budget. Because I already have some numbers in my head. Or I don't like the numbers, but it's just maintaining. We're looking at one of the highest increases in over a decade, well over. Just to maintain what they have. So just keep that in mind. I thank you very much for coming to this board. So at this time, I will, if nothing else needs to be said, let us adjourn. I'm going to take a motion to adjourn the Board of Finance.
Do you want to make sure nobody has anything else to say?
Chairman Humphrey?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Tom Blacksley for the record. I just have a few questions if you'd indulge me.
Okay, go ahead.
Just on the assistant superintendent position, did I hear correctly that the position was eliminated in 2020? And if so, why in 2 years later or less than 2 years later are we bringing that position back into place again?
I can answer that, I think. Well, I wasn't on the board in 2020, but the position at the time, we had Mr. Case as our superintendent. He'd been in the district for a long time, and I think there were significant budgetary restraints. As I explained, now that the district has grown, we have more needs, and we're in search for a new superintendent at this time, and it makes that transition difficult without the assistant superintendent.
And I can add to that, Tom, I can just add that having a 10-month position versus a 12-month position was a big loss for our district. So much of the work that is done in the summer related to curriculum, which is one of the main responsibilities of an assistant, is done in the summer. And so we really need someone who can work 12 months. We need a position where a person is working over the summer. And as the district is looking to attract an outstanding superintendent, that's something that candidates will be looking for.
And what's the added salary for that, for the extra 2 months?
Tom, it's $40,000 annually. It's at the lower end, the salary's at the lower end of assistant superintendents across the state and within our area.
Is that because he'll be starting new?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And what has student enrollment been over the last 2 years? In 2020 versus 2022, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, it's been pretty consistent, about 1,550 students.
Okay. No, I have some concerns over the decision and the move, particularly without any data to support that decision. Particularly when we're headed into, I think we're already into a recession and inflation is upon us and it's only going to get worse. I think in the near term, probably for a year or more, and whatever the ripple effects will be after that. So it's quite a substantial undertaking and an amount for a position that I don't know as if we truly need, but I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you, Tom. You have any other questions?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So before I embarrass myself again, does anybody else have any questions? Okay, now we'll wrap it up. Thank you. So the Board of Finance, I have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Board of Finance is adjourned.
See, I'll take a motion from the Board of Selectmen.
So moved.
Okay, you ready? Bob raises his hand.
Seconding.
Okay. Board of Education.
I did.
We adjourn.
Aye. I think that was a vote.
Yep.
Yes. We're
yep.
Oh,
sorry.
Erica and Kim?
Sure.
All in favor?
Aye. But we're adjourned, right?
Yes.
We're adjourned at 6:59.
I didn't hear.
But we're still recording.